The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of Salem Communications, staff, management, or advertisers. Activist Radio is on the air. You've tuned in to the Mark Harrington Show, sponsored by Created Equal. Mark is training a new generation of leaders to take on the culture of death and win. All right!
If you don't like abortion, don't have one.
The only thing that can be said to be objective truth is that there is no objective truth.
It does come out in one piece. It comes out in one piece.
I would argue that we certainly are not all created equal.
And now, here's Mark.
Visualize abortionists on trial. Visualize abortionists on trial. Well, that was a bumper sticker probably, I don't know, a decade ago. Used to make its rounds. The truth of the matter is you don't have to visualize it anymore because it's becoming a matter of fact. Abortionists are on trial all across America. You're listening to the Mark Harrington Show. You can go to createdequal.net to find out more about Created Equal. I am your radio activist, and we're going to be talking about some recent developments here in the state of Ohio, for that matter, across the country, where abortionists are on trial and abortion mills are closing across America. Just recently, last Friday, I was in Cincinnati with my good friend Brian Kemper and Cincinnati Right to Life. Other local groups are there. Ohio Right to Life is in support of this. I sat in the courtroom when abortionist Martin Haskell, his lawyers, his attorneys, tried to make the case to keep his Sharonville Abortion Center open. I have to say, I've been in a lot of courtrooms, but there is some sense of gratification to see abortionists on trial. We don't have full justice yet. Abortion's not illegal yet. But you can see it coming. And to sit in that courtroom and see the attorneys for abortionist Martin Haskell try to put a case forward to keep that death camp open was gratifying because they were really doing their best. They were reaching at straws to try to keep it open. On the other hand, the state of Ohio, the Ohio Department of Health, being represented by their attorneys, had a clear-cut case, and I sensed that, you know, we were going to win, and eventually we did. And eventually, Judge Metz handed down the ruling that it will close, and it has closed. And so my guest today is the president of Ohio Right to Life, Mike Onodakis. Mike, thanks for being on the Mark Harrington Show.
Oh, Mark, thanks for having me. It's an honor. And first of all, thank you for all the amazing work you do across the country, not just in Ohio. And you really go to ground zero, which is our liberal college campuses, and you bring to light the issue of abortion. And we thank you for all the work you and your team do.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate you guys as well. That's why we're going to have you on the show today. Let's talk about this to start out, Mike. Give us the background as to how we came to this place in Ohio where facilities like this Sharonville clinic have been unable to meet the standards of any other medical facility. Take us back to what brought us to this place.
Well, you know, Mark, by way of background, for the past 15 months, we, not all of us, all the entire pro-life movement here, work together to identify legislative, regulatory, and other methods to close 5 abortion mills in the state of Ohio. That's unheard of nationwide for one state to close 5. Now, it's 9 too many, but there's only 9 surgical abortion facilities left in Ohio. So to your question, how did we get there?
Yeah.
What we did was, we being the Right to Life chapters from Cincinnati to Toledo to Cleveland to us at Ohio Right to Life to your organization, we identified, and it might not always be sexy and it might not always be headline-grabbing initiatives, but we identified ways to ensure that we had the appropriate health and safety laws and regulations in Ohio, because even those pro-choicers who proclaim to be for women's health and protecting women, you would think that they would get behind and support every effort to ensure that abortion facilities were run in a safe, clean, health and safety manner. And we know over the past two decades in Ohio, we've had countless governors turn a blind eye and not enforce law. We worked so hard to pass these regulations, and we weren't having a governor until now, Governor Kasich, to enforce the law. So what we did was we took the current laws on the books. We found ways to enhance them, not to get caught up in court, not to get struck down by a judge, but we found ways to enhance our current laws, and then we had them apply them. We went to the Department of Health and we said, here is the law. This is what the governor signed. Your health inspectors must go in and inspect. They must have specific transfer agreements. And if they don't, their only alternative is to advise them of such and then close them. So we've been blessed to be able to put this regulatory scheme together. And again, it might not sound sexy, but right. What does sound sexy is that 5 abortion mills closed and we're under 10 now in Ohio.
My guest is Mike Anadakis from Ohio Right to Life. You can go to ohiolife.org, and we're talking about some of the recent closings across the country, but specifically really here in Ohio, where these abortion mills have been unable to meet the standard, basically, of any other ambulatory surgical center. This situation in Sharonville, Mike, last week I was in the courtroom, and you obviously, you guys, were present there as well. Give us what happened there. I mean, apparently Martin Haskell, who is the notorious late-term abortionist, who unfortunately came up with this idea of the partial birth abortion procedure, has now been forced to close his Sharonville mill.
Yes, and you know, and Martin Haskell, I can't even call him a doctor.
No.
He has that license. I'll just call him Mr. Haskell for this this moment here. Ohio law requires a transfer agreement with a hospital because Haskell's facility isn't a freestanding hospital, doesn't have appropriate medicine, medical care, or equipment to help if a woman has a bleed out or if there's a botched abortion. So everyone has to have this. Martin Haskell has been running roughshod rogue for years without a transfer agreement, and he continued to keep his door open because we didn't have an executive in our state to enforce the law, and the law has finally caught up to him, and finally the law came to him in the Department of Health and said, look, you don't have a transfer agreement. You either have to get one within X amount of days or we're closing you down. So he thought he could just litigate this and he would win, but the law finally caught up to him. Think about this, Mark. The entire medical community of Southwest Ohio rejected Martin Haskell because any hospital could have given him a transfer agreement, mind you. A private hospital, a public hospital can't because we passed a law that says public hospitals, because they're taxpayer funded. That means your tax dollars and mine pay for the University of Cincinnati Hospital, and we don't want our tax dollars going for that. But any of the other, there's countless number of private hospitals, and they all turn their back on them.
Right, so which tells you something, doesn't it?
It does. When the medical community says no thanks, and then you hear this war on women ridiculous slogan,
right.
The fact is that we are the majority. Sometimes we're the silent majority, but we need to be more vocal going forward, because we are better than abortion as a society, and even the medical community is saying no thanks. You know, Martin Haskell in the Cincinnati Inquirer today wrote an op-ed, you know, demonizing people like you and me and saying how terrible our great governor is. And then he said, and this is tragic, Mark, and this is what I want to point out, he said tens of thousands of women have had abortions in his facility. And what does that mean? Tens of thousands of babies were killed in his facilities. That's what that means. And
not something to be proud of, I would say.
No, not at all. The good news is, though, as of tomorrow, Friday, by 5 o'clock, he will be shuttered from performing surgical abortions ever again.
Amen,
praise God.
Amen. Mike Anadakis is my guest. Ohio Right to Life is the organization. Go to ohiolife.org. Okay, Mike, let me ask you a few hard questions here.
Yes, sir.
You know, the other side will say this. They will say this is just a cynical ploy, a cynical attempt by pro-lifers to pass these regulatory bills to try to bring these places up to standard, knowing full well that these could lead to closing abortion mills. Isn't that really what you're about? Is it not? You're not really about raising the standard of medical health for women, are you?
We are, because, I mean, look, I wish all abortion mills were closed. Let me
right.
put that on the table. Okay,
yeah,
I'm very
absolutely.
Public as president of Our Right to Life.
Yep.
And that's my mission, to close them all and end abortion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
All abortion facilities, abortion mills in Ohio, are licensed the same way as a laser eye surgery center, ear, nose, and throat center. Any freestanding specialty facility has to have a license in Ohio, and they have to meet certain standards. But for far too long, our government here in Ohio was not holding abortion facilities to the same standards that everyone else had to be held to. And all we said was, wait a minute. Why is that? There's no loophole in Ohio law for abortion facilities. And if a laser eye surgery center has to meet A, B, and C, so should the abortion clinics have to meet A, B, and C. And we know, and you know, Mark, that they run so terribly. Just 2 weeks ago, Planned Parenthood in Cleveland was fined $25,000 for unsafe and unsanitary facility. They proclaim to be for women's health and women's safety, yet they can't even have a clean facility in Cleveland. $25,000 fine. We have the clinic in Toledo on the cusp of closing. Hopefully the next time you have me on your show,
right.
I can say we're down to 8 abortion facilities left. And again, 8 too many, but we're,
right.
the number's going in the right direction.
Right. Well, okay, so I get it. Question I have is this. Folks will say, well, closing abortion mills doesn't really reduce the numbers of abortions in a state. They'll just drive further, or Planned Parenthood will build these mega centers. The remaining facilities will pick up the slack on abortions. Therefore, it really doesn't end, doesn't do a whole lot of good. How do you respond to that?
Well, certainly, we'd be naive if we didn't recognize the fact that a person can drive to another state, whether
sure.
it be 5 minutes over the border or 2 hours over the border. You know,
yeah.
most families drive on vacation to Florida, and I get that. We have means of transportation. But what I do know is we have 125 local departments of health, over 100 community health centers, free clinics. We have 125 pregnancy centers in Ohio. And when we eliminate the bad guys and demonstrate more and more of the good guys, our culture as a whole, and these women who find themselves in unintended pregnancy, they'll know that they have all these amazing support systems to have their child, to get prenatal care, to get free diapers and formula. You know, the pro-life movement in Ohio, the pro-life movement, gives away over 1 million diapers a year for free, truckloads of them, diapers, formula, car seats. And when more and more women find out that they have opportunity to health care and they have opportunity to a support system to raise their child, have their child and raise it, or place for adoption. As you know, Mark, both of my children are adopted.
Yep.
The greatest blessing in the world. And when we continue to mold our culture like that, more and more and more women will choose life, because they're, you know, back in the 80s, civil rights leaders said, why is there a gun store and liquor store in every inner city community? In 2014, they should be saying, why is there a gun store, liquor store, and a Planned Parenthood in every
exactly,
in every inner
exactly.
city community?
Exactly. Are abortions down in Ohio?
Abortions are down in Ohio, but they, unfortunately, and this is a tragedy that more and more people need to talk about, they're up in the black community. That's
okay.
why Planned Parenthood is targeting African Americans. 42% of all the 25,000 abortions in Ohio last year were on African American women, yet they only make up 8% of our state's population. Mark, there's no Planned Parenthood in Dublin or New Albany or Bexley in
exactly.
the up communities.
Yep.
They're only in the poor inner cities.
My guest is Mike Anadakis with Ohio Right to Life. We're talking about the agenda here that has been attempting to hold the standard for medical facilities, hold that to the abortion industry, which would make sense, right? If these folks are for taking care of women, which they say they are, if they are for women and women's rights and health for women and safety for women, then they should be required to have the same kind of standards as any other facility that deals with ambulatory surgical issues like this. So that's basically it. The bottom line is, they can't do it. They can't do it. Why? Because abortion's not medicine. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Mark Harrington Show, your voice of resistance.
What do other pro-life leaders think of Mark Harrington and Created Equal? Listen to Lila Rose of Live Action.
Just wanted to say that I stand 100% with the efforts of Created Equal, with getting the truth visually out to students on campuses and inspiring them and equipping them to have that debate with fellow students, to encourage them to really question their support for abortion and encourage them ultimately to see the humanity of the unborn child, the violence of abortion, and ultimately to join our side, which is the winning side, the side of life.
Mark Harrington is a missionary and free speech advocate, and Mark has been on the front line of the debate over abortion for over 20 years. Mark needs your prayers and financial support. Please support Mark and Created Equal by going to createdequal.net or send a check to Created Equal, Post Office Box 360502, Columbus, Ohio 43230. Your gifts are tax deductible.
That's right. I'm active and I'm on the radio. Mark Harrington here with Mike Anadakis of Ohio Right to Life. We've been talking about the great news that abortion centers are closing across the country and specifically in Ohio because they are unable to come up to the standards of any other medical facility. That's it. That's all that's been taking place. And these people are all upset about that. You would think they would go out of their way to make themselves come up to that standard, but the bottom line is they can't. They just can't because they're not medical facilities. Abortion's not medicine, and these abortionists aren't doctors. So my guest is Mike Anadakis. Mike, let's go to the broader question of just methods of policy, politics, public policy, this kind of thing. And there's two views in the movement, I guess, and personally, I don't think they're mutually exclusive at all. But and this is more of an in-house debate for the pro-life movement. It's not something that the common, you know, most folks who are just listening casually are really debating so much. But it is a continued debate within the movement, and that is the idea that we need to incrementally roll back abortion by passing legislation like what we've been talking about here. Holding them to have a transfer agreement, for an example, or any other types of legislation which does not end abortion with one fell swoop, does not protect the preborn 100% with one piece of legislation or what have you. You have that view, incremental view, versus some of those out there who believe that, you know, we just need to support the only view that stops it all at once. And anything short of that is compromise. Anything short of that is us tacitly agreeing that some abortions are okay. How do you handle that? Because I know Ohio Right to Life, you guys have done a lot of work in passing legislation, and you have had a great success in incrementally rolling back the abortion laws in the state. How do you answer that question between the two?
You know, Mark, it's a great question. First and foremost, you know, everyone who is involved with the pro-life movement has a purpose, was called by God. So we're not going to criticize any approach. And I think I can speak for everyone that if we could wave a magic wand and just end it immediately, I think
sure.
We would have done it 20 years ago,
right.
30 years ago. It would never even be in existence because nine men on the United States Supreme Court in 1973 said it should exist. But what we try to do at Ohio Right to Life, and this isn't a criticism of other approaches, it's just our approach,
mm-hmm.
is identify ways to outsmart and be strategic to the abortion industry because they've got all the money. They've got billions of dollars from the media, the liberal media, the liberal universities.
Right, Barack and they
Obama.
Have the law.
They have, and they have the
unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately, they have Roe v. Wade.
Yes.
So what we have to do until we can overturn Roe is to continue to find ways to box in the abortion industry, whether that be increasing our health and safety standards, as we've been doing here in Ohio. We did, in 2011, pass a late-term ban. Tragically, there was thousands of babies being aborted at 6, 7, 8, 9 months pregnant in Ohio until 2011. That doesn't happen anymore. So we continue to find those ways that, 'cause what we say is, how can we find a solution legislatively? Look, at the end of the day, it's hearts and minds, it's culture, it's what you're doing
sure.
on the ground, my friend.
Right.
From our perspective, is how can we use the government to continue to protect the sanctity of human life? And if we pass, we could, at Ohio Right to Life, pass a law that bans abortion from conception, and we could do that weekly, monthly, and the Governor Kasich would sign it. But Mark, you've been in the movement longer than I have, and you know that before the ink would be dry on Governor Kasich's name, and when he signed it, there would be an injunction in federal court.
Right.
And then, you know, we're all human beings. And then I go back to the legislature and ask them for more, and they say, hey, slow down. We already know what the outcome is. So what we've done is we've found ways to to continue to chip away at the industry, because when I started at Ohio Right to Life back in 06, we had 18 abortion mills. And this isn't about me. I'm just using it in context here.
Sure.
In 2014, we have 9. Hopefully in the next month, we'll have 8. So we're going to continue to find ways to help women, right? Change the culture, get to the young. It's working. All the polling demonstrates that the youth are pro-life. A majority of the youth are pro-life. That didn't used to be the case. We didn't have the youth in this country, but now the youth are identifying with the pro-life movement. Adoption's becoming more and more prevalent. So I think we have to take an approach to this issue where we're smart about it from a strategy, because Planned Parenthood, you know what they do to us? And you see this happen. You know, we're all just a bunch of crazy right-wingers, right? Isn't that what they always say?
And yeah, that's what they say.
They always bring up the rape and incest issue. And they find the hot-button issues, and then they just beat it in the media's brain. So,
Mike, let me ask you this. How do you answer the critics that say you can't predict the Supreme Court? I mean, you got a 5-4 pro-life majority right now, but you know it could change, and who knows how they would rule on a particular piece of legislation if it came to their, it came to the court. How do you handle that? Because you know we can't really. I mean, you can make an educated guess as to how they might treat a particular piece of legislation if it went to the court. But to those who say, listen, we shouldn't worry about the court. We should just have faith in God, obey God, pass the law that bans all abortion and let the chips fall where they may, because otherwise anything short of that is not having faith.
Mm-hmm. Great question. You know, I have faith in God, and God also gave us discernment and gave us knowledge to extract great strategies. And the courts are made based on predictability. I mean, if Mark, you and I enter in a contract and one of us violated the terms of the contract, you would, I know you're not litigious, but allow me to go down this path,
sure,
you would have recourse in the court of law because we have predictability. The courts are based on predictability, so you know we don't have chaos in the marketplace. We know where the law is and what the courts are. You said 5-4 a little bit ago. You can make an argument it's 6-3 because no one would have thought John Roberts would have upheld Obamacare with all the abortion provisions in it, Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He was the swing vote. So we might be 6-3 right now, but here's what I do know.
So why not pass something that it would go up there?
At a minimum 5-4. And here's the problem. Justice Ginsburg is dying to write the majority opinion. Now, she's up there.
Yeah, I know that.
And they want a woman to write it, and she wants to roll back all abortion restrictions, and she wants to change the law to make it equal protection, meaning there can be no restrictions whatsoever, because even though Roe v. Wade is the worst decision in the history of American jurisprudence, it still allows for states to have restrictions on abortion.
Mm-hmm. So you guys want to, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you want to work within the framework of Roe v. Wade, and if so, isn't that bending the knee to Roe v. Wade?
No, we don't want to work within the framework of Roe. We wish Roe didn't exist, but what we do know is we're forced to work within the framework of Roe. We're forced to, not that we want to, but we have
okay.
no alternative. And what I would say is the minute we can get rid on the Supreme Court, if we can elect I mean, this is how the system works. I didn't create it
yep.
the way it works. When we elect a pro-life president, we have a pro-life Senate, and there's an opening on the court. You know, Ronald Reagan had a couple justices. George Bush had a couple justices. George Bush, the second one, George W. Bush, he appointed Alito and Roberts to the court.
Right.
So, just imagine if Obama did not win. Geez, how much better would we be? But
yeah.
for this argument, we would not have Kagan and Sotomayor on the court right now. If McCain would have won, because it was Obama's first term, Kagan and Sotomayor would not be on the court. It might
right.
be Harrington and Gonadoc, right?
yeah. Well, that'd be trouble up there, wouldn't it?
and I'll tell you, if it was that, everyone in the nation would be filing a case in front of the United States Supreme Court, because we'd be able to overturn Roe. But until such time, we're forced to work
right.
within the
Okay, case. One last question on this, and then we're going to be wrapping up here, Mike.
Okay.
What about, there is a thought out there, what's called interposition or nullification, and that is that the states have the right to make abortion law. The federal government never should have been given that, of course, and many people believe on both sides that Roe was a miscarriage of justice and all of that. But what about a state legislature or attorney general or what have you just saying when one of these courts rules against a piece of pro-life legislation, just say, listen, we do not recognize this federal law. We are going to enforce the law as we have rightly passed it in our legislature. How do you handle that one?
Mark, you got 30 seconds.
Okay, I think it's a great idea. Why do we live in a country where each state can set their own marriage policy, but we can't set our own abortion policy? It's hypocrisy at best.
It is.
And I will tell you that we're all for it, although we've seen it struck down before. Every state should be able to, and we should be able to ignore that horrible decision. So if we can get a state to maybe Mississippi or Texas to do it and make it stick, we'll all follow. We're for it. We like it.
All right, Mike. Thanks for being on the program. Mike Onondaga is from Ohio Right to Life. Go to OhioLife.org. We appreciate the work of Ohio Right to Life. And, folks, I tell you, sitting in that courtroom, I was glad our governor was Governor Kasich, because we wouldn't have been there. We wouldn't have been there. As much as, you know, politicians aren't perfect, he got this one right. God bless you. God bless America. And remember, America. To bless God.
You've been listening to Mark Harrington, your radio activist, sponsored by Created Equal. For more information on how to become a witness against the evil plague in America, call Created Equal at 614-269-7808, 614-269-7808, or go online to createdequal.net. createdequal.net. Be sure to tune to The Mark Harrington Show next time for your marching orders in the culture war.